I want to say thank you to those of you who worked on the display. Just reminds us of the bounty of the country in which we live in. And then, of course, the hands that make it possible for us to enjoy the many foods that are grown right here in southern Manitoba. And so thank you for those of you who prepared that to just remind us of God's goodness today. Also was very encouraged by the music that Heinrich shared with us. How many of you understood what was being said there in Russian? I knew it was going to be. Some of you are really too sharp for me. Okay. So I wanted those of you, just put your hands up again. I want the rest of you to see those who understood the Russian language. Okay. Yeah. So I want you to understand that those of us who didn't understand Russian, thank you for translating that for us, Heinrich, and that there's much to appreciate about people who come from different languages, different cultures. Also, rejoice that Eric had an opportunity to go to Deutschland and I wasn't sure if he was saying "You're so beautiful" to that Camaro or to the Alps. But I know it was really to God. I understood that. But I viewed that thing a couple times, and there's quite a long pause on the Camaro, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder if that's for effect and contrast. I'm sorry, you say Porsche? That was a Porsche. See, I don't know my cars at all. But I do know onions and potatoes. Okay. It's good to have Carl and Tracy with us here today, and it's a number of years ago when they first came to the church, we were having a potluck for Thanksgiving, and they had joined us, and it was just great to have them come as a young family. Now they have a number of children, their children are growing, and I could almost strain my back when I went to pick up Ryan. So, Ryan, you're getting almost as tall as your dad. Won't be long. See you, buddy. Okay, turn with me to Psalm 111. It's great to praise the Lord together in song. How great is our God! And on a Thanksgiving Sunday, we need to praise Him more than just simply for the weather. About a month ago, the farmers were rather discouraged because the fields were wet, and you'll remember pretty much in that first weekend, it must have rained a couple inches anyway, and the fields were just soaking wet, and a lot of the farmers were very, very discouraged. I was talking with someone yesterday, and they said, you know, a lot of the farmers are very, very surprised at how the Lord is blessed with the warm weather, but also surprised by the quality of the crops that they are bringing in. So we praise God for His daily provision. We need not fret. We need to rest in Him. Psalm 111 is a psalm of remembrance, a psalm of praise. And so it begins with hallelujah in Hebrew, translated praise the Lord. The first New England Thanksgiving was celebrated less than a year after the Plymouth colonists had settled in the new land of Massachusetts Bay Colony. They found it very difficult to praise the Lord that year. The first dreadful winter in the colony had killed nearly half of its members. For many of you that migrated from Russia to Germany to Canada, you were welcomed with a developed land, but the people who had traveled from Europe to this so-called new land did so at a great cost. A lot of uncertainty. Not even sure they'd survive a winter. Well, a new hope had emerged in the summer of 1621. when the corn harvest brought rejoicing. We had corn last night. There's nothing better than super sweet corn, isn't there? Made right here in southern Manitoba. Well, these farmers didn't know anything about the hybrid corns. They just brought some seed along, and whatever it was, it grew, and God gave it increase, and they ate, and they were satisfied. Governor William Bradford decreed that a three-day festival be held beginning on December 13, 1621. Thus came about a Thanksgiving Day set aside for the special purpose of prayer as well as celebration. The custom of Thanksgiving Day spread from Plymouth to other New England colonies. During the Revolutionary War, 8 special days of thanks were observed for victories and deliverance from perilous times. On November 26, 1789, President George Washington issued a general proclamation for a day of thanks. You say, well, I thought we were supposed to be celebrating it on November 26th. Sorry, we're not Americans. We're not colonists as such. But actually, there were French Canadians and British colonists that did come down the St. Lawrence Seaway. And they camped at Mount Royal. I could tell you a little bit about that. Most of you should be able to tell us a little bit about that, especially those of you who became citizens in this last year. You had to study all that Canadian history. And so November 26, 1789, the President George Washington issued this general proclamation. So for many years, there was no regular National Thanksgiving Day in the United States until President Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father. Wouldn't it be great to have a government that would set aside a day to praise God? A government under God that says we are going to give thanks for all things. That is the government that is yet to come. That is a government that will rule from sea to sea, as it were, as we read in God's Word. But sea to sea in God's Word was from the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, to the Sea of Galilee. That was the Promised Land. As you climb the steps, as you go into the Parliament in Ottawa, it speaks about ruling from sea to sea. Passage of the Psalms, if I recollect correctly. As one studies early American history, it becomes obvious that our early settlers and forefathers expressed their thanksgiving and their gratitude to God daily rather than once a year. As a nation, we need to go back to the pilgrim's fine art of gratitude towards God. Why don't you write down next to Psalm 111, two passages, Psalm 147, verse 1, and Psalm 78. Psalm 147, verse 1 says this. Again, it starts with, hallelujah! Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Yesterday, in the morning, Renee and I were doing our Bible reading, and we had noted the sky, the clouds. And it reminded me, I hadn't seen the clouds quite like the clouds that I'd seen. And the whole time I've lived here, I hadn't seen them quite the way they were formed yesterday. And I said to Renee, I says, it reminds me of the coast along Florida, because along Florida in the morning, we got to see some sunrises, and it had sort of this very humid look, but also rather subdued cloud effect. But it was so beautiful because the rays were reflecting a different hue of blue and white and yellow. And I thought of the Lord's coming. Do you think of the Lord's coming? Because when the Lord returns, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and all will say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, not unlike what we just read about the United States who inaugurated a day of Thanksgiving, but in Israel's history, there were three feasts in particular that were given out and legislated as feasts to be celebrated, similar to our harvest festivals that we have every year. The first one started in Leviticus 23, 9 to 14, where we have the day of first fruits. And so the barley harvest would come up, and they would bring the sheaves of the barley, and they would say, and bring it to the tabernacle, and would offer it. Some as a wave offering. It would be combined with different spices. It was meant to be an expression of gratitude. And then in Leviticus 23, verses 15 to 22, they were told that they were to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days after harvest. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, referred to in Leviticus 23, 33 to 43. The nation of Israel was legislated to take times of festivity during the year to remember and to express gratitude. Oh, to be in a country where that would not need to be legislated because people wanted to do so. But ought to be in a country that it would be legislated or at least recognized so that the people would demonstrate gratitude. I confess to you that unless I'm commanded to be thankful, oftentimes I find myself being unthankful. It's only as I read the Word of God, as I receive God's grace and forgiveness, that I begin to realize how blessed I really am and how important it is for me to be thankful. Psalm 111 and Psalm 112 were often read together. And some of your study Bibles will make reference to that. They're referred to as an acrostic psalm, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so the first line of Psalm 111 starts with Aleph. A, the letter A for us. And so praise the Lord. The nation of Israel was told repeatedly to remember. Why? Why would God want them to remember? What were they to remember? November 11th, we celebrate, or maybe not the word celebrate is the inappropriate word, but rather we remember those fallen soldiers that who defended our country for fear of a tyrant ruling the earth, a man named Hitler in the Second World War. And so we say, lest we forget. That's how we word it here in Canada. Lest we forget, we have a day called Remembrance Day. But the Word of God takes it beyond simply remembering those who died on our behalf, but rather to consider the great works of God, to remember all that He has done for us. And so young people and children, moms and dads, as you're reading your Bibles, I want you to maybe just underline in your Bibles, remember. Every time you see that word, remember, because it's there for you and for me. Because we soon forget. Here's a verse. Here's some things that they were to remember. Exodus 13:3 says this. Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand of the Lord brought." You know, there seems to be a "the" missing here for some reason, and I got it right off my Bible program. "For by the strength of the hand of the Lord," no. Okay, we won't worry about that. I'll just read it. "For by strength of hand," there it is, "the Lord brought you out of this place." That sounds better. "No leavened bread shall be eaten." So we're to remember that day in which Israel was delivered. Exodus 20, verse 8, part of the Ten Commandments. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This was legislated in Israel. Numbers 15, 39 and 40. You shall have tassels that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. Now we know that the nation of Israel, although they had all of these commands, they went astray. They worshiped different idols. Consequently, God gave them over to their enemies. He brought them into exile, a strange land. It was a very difficult time, and many generations lived in despair. Deuteronomy 5:15 says this, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Deuteronomy 7:17 and 18, "If you should say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?' And if you'll remember, the book of Judges makes a similar remark. In the book of Joshua, each of the tribes came to Joshua and says, "Listen, we can't get rid of these people. They've got chariots. They've got weapons greater than ours." And Joshua said to them, "With the Lord's help, you are able." Moses goes on to write to the second generation, "You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt." Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." Now, some of you young people could hardly imagine what 40 years of age could possibly be like. That's almost like Methuselah. I can hardly imagine 969 years, the oldest man in Scripture. But the Lord led a whole generation for 40 years. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is today." Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel." Verses 1 and 2, Psalm 111. Are you ready to remember? Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. How could I possibly do that unless I remember? You can't. Because you'd have no reason to praise God unless you understood from what you've been delivered. The psalmist begins with heartfelt worship. He sees that God is great. His intent is that he is to worship God with his whole being in the congregation, together with brothers and sisters who want to worship God. And so the psalmist is saying, "I will do the same. I will do it in the congregation. I will worship God. I will praise Him." And so he remembers the works of the Lord. Verse 2, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them." Now, what I did, long before I prepared the message, I was thinking about this psalm, and I started thinking, how many of the works of God can I remember and go to my Bible and find? How many of you think of creation right off? That's one of the works of God. Any of you think of that? None of you think of that. How many of you think of creation? No. boy, just very few, you people are sleeping or you're smelling turkey, one or the other. And I know how that can affect your mind. It numbed mine yesterday. Remember creation. What else happened? Wasn't that something in terms of how God delivered a family? With an ark. When there was no rain on the earth. Wasn't it amazing how he fed thousands of people, millions of people? How they crossed the Red Sea. How Jesus fed the 5,000. How he walked on water. How he raised the dead. How Daniel was where? In the lion's den. And you can go on and on and on. As the nation of Israel went around Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. As the axe head floated on the water, the works of God, they're to be remembered. And the many times that God has answered your prayers. However, in Psalm 78, if you want to turn there just a few pages back, verses 9 to 11, Israel did not always remember the Lord. That psalm is dedicated to the reminder of the works of God, and it is a rebuke against the nation because they failed to remember the works of the Lord. Listen to what it says in verses 9 to 11. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. That means they retreated. They withdrew for fear. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. Let's not forget. Where can I study the works of the Lord? Well, I can see them every day in creation, no doubt about it, with every sunrise, as we witnessed yesterday. As we were looking at pictures that Eric was showing us, the beautiful Alps, never been there. I wouldn't mind being there. Wouldn't mind going to some of the places. That castle sort of reminded me a little bit of maybe a picture of the heavenly Jerusalem, although the picture of the heavenly Jerusalem is so much more beautiful. I can go to Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. You see, you and I can read about the works of God every day of our lives. Well, that means I don't have to do it today. I can do it tomorrow. Like, I mean, why do today what I can do tomorrow, right? Mañana. What's that mean? What's that mean? Tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. How many of you have the gift of procrastination? My, are we infected here. We've got problems. Well, I have it too from time to time. I can think of the creation story, how God delivered Israel from Egypt and their enemies, Daniel and Jonah, the life of Christ. These are things that I can read every day. Look at verse 3. Glorious and majestic are His deeds, and righteousness, and His righteousness endures forever. That's something to ponder, something to meditate upon. Verse 4. He has caused His wonders to be remembered. How did He do that? He did it by giving us this Word, supernaturally preserving it over time. As men sought to snuff it out, God says, My works shall be remembered forever and ever and ever. In verse 4, where it says the Lord is gracious and compassionate, we're all recipients of that. Even though you wonder why it is, but that's what grace is. God, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's receiving what you don't deserve. Compassion is given to those in need who cannot solve their problems. Grace is given to those who need that grace and who receive that grace. And as we appreciate that grace, we remember. Verse 5, He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. We are under a new covenant found in Jesus Christ. That covenant is eternal. Verse 6, He has shown His people the power of His works, given them the lands of the nations. And verse 7, the works of His hands are faithful and just. New King James Version has verity, truth, and justice. All His precepts are trustworthy. In other words, all of God's commandments are solid. They can be depended upon. Verse 8, they are steadfast forever and ever, if you ever had any doubts. Done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for His people. Redemption, God's salvation, God's purchase of you and me by the shed blood of Jesus Christ is one of His greatest works. Something that we should not take lightly, but all too often we do, don't we? It says that He ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. You're to think about that. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. His name is holy and His name is awesome. And when you and I stand before Him, yes, we will be awestruck. We will hardly be able to stand. We will fall on our faces before Him. And I trust that we will worship Him as He deserves. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal hallelujah. Remembrance is part of wisdom. Remembrance results in a healthy accountability before God. And remembrance is evidenced in obedience. Came across a poem called The Best Thanksgiving Day. As we gather around our firesides on this new Thanksgiving Day, time would fail to count the blessings that have followed all our way. Grace sufficient, help and healing, prayer oft answered at our call, and the best of all our blessings, Christ Himself, are all in all. While we love to count the blessings, grateful for the year that's gone, faith would sweep a wider vision, hope would gaze yet further on. For the signals all around us seem with one accord to say, Christ is coming soon to bring us earth's last best Thanksgiving Day. Today is Thanksgiving. Yesterday was Thanksgiving. Tomorrow will be Thanksgiving. Let us be thankful for the grace that we have received, sins forgiven, sins forgiven. Sins forgiven, and peace with God. Let us remember and teach our children precious truth that we've received, because only as they see you cherish the grace you've received, will they too respond to that grace? May the Lord give you wisdom. As we gather downstairs and we give thanks for the food, and I love all the wonderful dishes that you all prepare, it came from God. He gave us the abilities to do with it what we will. May we honor God day in and day out around our tables and give Him glory. Shall we pray? Lord, we commit our day to You, our lives afresh. Without You, we are nothing. Forgive us for our ingratitude. Forgive us when we fail to remember all that You have done for us. But we rejoice today as we've looked briefly at Your works. And the greatest work is to know that we have sins forgiven by virtue of our faith in You. Bless our time together and just pray that You'd be with us in these next few moments as Les leads the meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.